Wow, that was a wonderful introduction. So today, I think Ian already read the passage for us. It's from John 15. I selected certain passages for a purpose, but let's not repeat that. So the reason why I chose this passage was because this passage was preached to me 2 years ago
when I went to a winter conference. This became my theme verse because I felt that God was continually pruning me during my time in seminary. Reading the passage again, I realized I missed the main idea of the passage, which is abiding. Then I thought, well, what does abiding mean? Like every good 21st century student, I went to Google and I typed in the definition of abiding, and this is what I got. Lasting a long time. Enduring. Another somewhat reliable resource, dictionary.com, says, continuing without change, enduring, steadfast. The question I received from reading John 15 is, how am I enduring, steadfast, and abiding in Christ? It seems like, you know, pretty easy thing for me since, you know, I've been to church all my life. However, when I dove into John 15, I found a completely different answer. Abiding means that we are completely dependent on Christ over every aspect of our life. In verse 1, it says, Christ reveals to his disciples that he is the vine who is the source of everlasting life. He is our mediator and connection to God. When Jesus speaks of abiding in John 15, he uses the image of the branches and the vine to communicate what it looks like to remain in fellowship with him. In verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abiding is to dwell in Christ and not to depart from him. Like a branch, we are to be dependent on Christ for nourishment and the source of for life, under the care and protection of the vine dresser, which is God. Through abiding in Christ, we can bear fruit, but those who do not abide in Christ does not bear fruit. This theme is common throughout the Gospel of John, as it speaks of the community that it has fruitful branches that are connected to the vine. Christ warns about the fruitless branches, which is represented in those that do not have genuine belief because they do not remain in Christ. I believe that, you know, when Jesus continues to repeat, abide, or even in NIV it says remain, he is making a distinction apart from just believing. Believing in Jesus is to know who he is and what he has done. But I believe a lot of us in church know Jesus. But what difference does that make in your life? In James 2:19 in the NIV, it says, you believe there is one God. Good. Even demons believe that and shudder. Just to believe and to know in Christ as our Savior and Lord is not enough. This challenges us to rethink what we believe and why we are believing. Are we believing with just our intellect and striving to have a greater theological argument for your belief? Or are you demonstrating belief through the transformation in your life? Jesus calls us to remain in him by knowing the truth of Christ through the convictions of our hearts and our lives. It is shown through our desires to be transformed in our character, our being, our minds, and even our lifestyle to become more like Christ, because we trust in Christ as our Lord over our lives. Well, the reason why I mentioned this is I wanted to get brownie points from Pastor Stan as well. But a couple weeks ago, Pastor Stan spoke the difference between, you know, Jesus is the Lord as our Savior, or is Jesus Lord over our lives? There are many times when we put Christ as one of the Avenger heroes that we call upon in dire situation. If there is a problem that we can solve on our own, well, there's no need to call on Jesus because we can do it ourselves. We are dependent on our own ability and power. But if there is a problem we cannot fix or handle on our own, we call upon the Lord hoping for a supernatural miracle and deliverance. But that's just putting Christ as our backup plan. Claiming Christ as the Lord over our lives is that in every situation and in every decision, whether big or small, we put Him first. Similarly, as we need to abide in Christ by continually remaining in His word and truth. Abiding is difficult. We cannot see the fruit that we bear. We cannot see what we have grown and developed through abiding in Christ. There's no immediate or tangible results that we can see until the day that Jesus returns. God is the ultimate judge who determines the fruit that we bear. Nevertheless, that we can trust in the Holy Spirit that He is working in us and through our lives because Jesus Christ has sent Him to be our guide and helper. We have the assurance that the Spirit is working to help us to become fruitful. So, how do we abide? There you go. There are three instructions, as like a good teacher would do, is to have 3 points. I was going to do 4, but then we're Chinese church, so it's like superstitious. Probably not. But do 3. There are 3 instructions that I found through reading John 15. First, submission in Christ through having a personal relationship with Him. Second, obedience in His commands by loving one another. And third, trust in God as He prunes. So first, in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It is through remaining and abiding in Christ that we can bear fruit and have a connection with God. That is why we need to submit by giving all authority to Christ in order that we can have a personal relationship with Him. Like the verse says, we cannot do it alone because He is the one who is the one who reconciled for us our relationship with God. It is through spending time with Jesus daily and to know the importance of having Jesus having authority over our lives through reading His word and prayer. It is not just knowing Jesus with our minds, but knowing Him with our hearts. So recently, because of my mentee, I downloaded an app called Snapchat. And it's to look cool among the teens, right? No? Okay, just kidding. Snapchat is when you snap a photo of yourself, I think. Well, that's what I see people do. And then send to your friends to give them updates about their lives. It is a method to communicate with your friends through pictures. However, how much can you know about a person through snapping pictures? One becomes more familiar with how many moles or acne or their friends have on their face. But will pictures let you be able to know more about the person? Would you know what is on their heart and their mind? Would you know more about who they really are beneath those filters and face modifications? I believe that living in a tech-savvy and social media-saturated culture, we are molded to receive information in snapshots, even understanding about Jesus Christ. I've seen people take certain texts of the scripture and believe that is the full gospel of Christ. I've seen people read online Christian blogs, taking in the place of reading the word of God. I've seen people take inspirational quotes and take in place what scripture says, which I personally am guilty of this. When we submit to Christ, we don't just receive snapshots of Christ and believe this is everything about Him. Because when you submit to Christ and have a personal relationship with Him, you know who Christ is. You know that what He did on the cross is so much more meaningful and significant that it cannot be represented just through a snapshot. When we submit to Christ, we become the full representation of who Christ is through our whole being and our whole life. We are the branch that is connected to the vine, and through our submission in Christ, we may bear fruit in his name. And the second, how do we abide? It's through obedience to Christ's commands. We need to obey Christ's commands. And it mentions in verse 6, I believe, over here, yes. If you abide in me and my words, is this the same one? Oh, no. Whatever. I'll just read whatever I have here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Well, this is totally not what it's supposed to be, but it's okay. To remain in close and intimate relationship with Christ is through obedience. I think every parent that's here knows that when their children obey, it's awesome. Because your blood pressure decreases significantly, which brings health to the heart. Yeah, do I hear an amen? But most importantly, obedience is a way for children to demonstrate their love to their parents. Through our obedience to Christ's command, it is our way to show love to Christ. True believers abide by listening to Christ's instruction, which is through loving one another. It mentions in verse 9 to 10, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands and abide in his love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, he continues in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And also in verse 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. To love one another is a mission dimension of bearing fruit and the evidence of abiding in Christ. As disciples, we are called to follow Jesus' mode of love, which is through the death on the cross. He died for our sins because he did not want us to go through the punishment of sin and the wrath of God. Jesus instructs us to do the same in verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for their friends. We are called to do the same to the people around us. So one of my recent favorite movies is Hacksaw Ridge. It's on Netflix. Has anyone watched that before? Good for you. The rest of you are missing out. Just kidding. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Just kidding. I'm just going to ruin it for you. Well, it's directed by Mel Gibson, and it is a true story about a soldier named Desmond Doss, who has committed himself to one of the Ten Commandments, especially the commandment of thou shalt not kill. He decided to join World War II as a medic and made a commitment not to carry a gun. Despite of many persecutions by his peers and his families, he remained steadfast to his beliefs. When his team reached Hacksaw Ridge, the enemies launched a massive attack, which injured many soldiers. Doss had the opportunity to leave the ridge, but he decided to stay on the field to save the wounded and dying soldiers. He risked his life to save one soldier at a time. At the end of the night, it was recorded that he saved over 50 soldiers. What stood out to me was not only his sacrifice to save other soldiers, but his complete dependence on God for strength. Every time he saved one soldier, he asked God to use him to save one more. Likewise, when we love others, it is through the sacrifice, which does not come from our own strength, but comes from God. Christ has assured that the Holy Spirit is here to guide us and to give us strength to obey him and to love others. Thirdly, how do we abide? We can expect that when we abide in Christ, like the branches that are connected to vine, there will be pruning involved. It is mentioned in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. Why is pruning important? Pruning is necessary for the growth of the branches and productivity of the fruit bearing. The vine dresser cuts away what hinders the development of the branch. Likewise, cleansing and purifying are necessary for the disciples' growth. God the Father, through his loving discipline, removes things from our lives that do not contribute to spiritual fruitfulness. His word acts like a double-edged sword that removes unwanted branches in our lives. It helps us to discern our intentions and our thoughts and is a perfect tool for pruning us. When we abide in Christ, it requires us to change and to transform. However, it comes with pain. Everyone likes change, but no one likes to change. Change comes in forms of suffering, trials, and hardships. However, through these, we are sanctified and made holy to become more like Christ. I stumbled upon a story which made pruning a little easier to understand, even in my own perspective. But during the Great Depression, a man lost his job, exhausted his savings, and gave up his home. His grief was multiplied by the sudden death of his young wife. The only thing that he had left was his faith. One day, as he explored the neighborhood looking for work, he stopped to watch as men did stonework on the church building. One was skillfully chiseling a triangular piece of rock, not seeing a spot it would fit, and he asked, "Where are you going to put that?" The man pointed on top of the building, and he said, "Yeah, see that little opening up there? Up there in that spire? That's where it goes. I'm shaping it down here so that it will fit up there." Tears filled the hurting man's eyes as he walked away, thinking of the words, "Shaping it down here so that it will fit up there." God is shaping, transforming, molding, and pruning us so that when the day that Christ comes back, we are ready to receive the same glorification of Christ because of our steadfast faith through abiding in Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us abide by putting our complete dependence upon him. He does not call us just to know, but to abide and dwell in him, like how the branches abide to the vine. It is our life and lifestyle that is transformed into the likeness of Christ, so that he can be seen through us. With abiding, we are to be in full submission of Christ by having a personal relationship with him. Also, we are called to be obedient to what Jesus has commanded, which is loving others through sacrifice. We are to trust that no matter what hardships that we go through, God is pruning us and molding us to become more like Christ. Now, I have a question for you. Are you abiding in Christ? Are you abiding with just what you know? Or are you abiding through your whole life? In every situation, in every decision, whether it's big or small, are you abiding in him? Are you putting him first? Before we pray, I want to take a couple minutes just for a silent prayer to answer this question. What are certain things in your life that you need to submit to Christ? Are you obedient to his command by loving one another through your sacrifice? In what areas of your life do you need God just to remove and to prune? Even though it's difficult, but you know that there will be spiritual fruitfulness that comes with it. But there is hope, because as Jesus Christ comes back, we'll be there with him. So let us pray.